Welcome back. We're continuing, and as I said last time, this time we turn to this incredibly exciting discussion of money for church planting. Church planting costs money. Now, depending on how you go about your church plant, it will determine how the money is gathered and how much is needed. So I'm just going to give you some general ways that I've been involved in, others have been involved in order to get the money for church development, for church planting. So let's dig in. The simplest way, I think, of getting money for church planting is to start with making a budget. In other words, you've got to know how much it's going to cost in year one and project how much it's going to cost in year two. Now, everything that should come into a cost should be in your budget. Now, making a budget is vitally important because it's going to impact how much money people will give you. People, we're going to talk later about approaching businesses, approaching denomination, approaching mother church, etc. They will be more likely to give to this endeavor if they know how much you project it's going to cost. And so everything that you can picture should be on that. Now, if you're going to start with some kind of salary, if you're going to be doing bivocational, you're going to be part-time leading this church for pay, then that's got to be part of the budget. What are you going to do for worship costs? How much music is going to cost? And what about, are you going to rent a facility? That's got to be on there. Do you need equipment? Sound equipment that you're going to need. What about chairs? That should be in your budget. What about building out sections of a building or rental for a facility? That's got to be in the budget. What about discipleship material? That's got to be in the budget. Children's ministry stuff you're going to use to train or teach children, that's got to be in your budget. Caring for people, providing needs for people who have physical needs, that's got to be in your budget. All those kind of things that you anticipate should be in your budget. Make a budget, a careful budget. Now, if you don't have the particular gifts in this area, find people in your launch team who do, or people in a mother church who do, or somebody you know, somebody who's got that, who can help walk you through that process. And those people are incredibly valuable, but they're often very, very willing. Now, I shared before, I have a spiritual gift in leadership, but I don't have one in administration. And I got to tell you, money issues just, they bedazzle me. I get lost in them. And yet they're very important. And so I have always had to depend on, lean on other people to put out a budget. And in every case, I found those people who could do that and do it well. In some cases, they did it for a living. They were people who this is what they did. They looked at finances. They looked at spreadsheets all day. In other cases, it was people who owned businesses and they understood about making a budget. And these were people who then could, do that and do it well. But finding that person who can make a budget, I can't make this strong enough. Make sure that you have a good budget. Now, once you have a budget, then you got to start thinking about how do we make that money. One way is the bivocational beginning, that this will allow little cost on your part. Now, if I say bivocational here, sometimes I'm referring to the fact that maybe you aren't getting anything as the leader of the church. Or if you're the launch team, maybe you're giving a little bit to the leader, that you do it, this is on the cheap. Now, can a church get started this way? Yes, absolutely. I shared with you the beginning of the table in the lakeside area of Muskegon, Michigan. These two men felt a burden to start a church in that community. They had no idea how to go about it, but at their own cost, some minimal support from the accountability team, the group of men that they met for Bible study, they started just going door to door in that community, particularly in the businesses, the small business area there, and asking, we're thinking of starting a church here. How do you connect with people? What's the community like? And just asking those kind of questions. And as a result, they ended up going to the local bar. There's one bar in the area, and they went to the guy who was working in the bar, happened to own it, and asked the man, you know, how do we go about getting to know people in this community? And he said, you know what? Everybody in this community, one time or another during a week, ends up walking into this bar. A high percentage of them. And so, you know, if you want to meet people, this is where you should be. And so they came to an agreement. These two men and their wives would come to that bar on Thursday nights. And since the bar did not sell food, they only sold drink, the owner said, you're welcome to come in here with any kind of food you want, as long as you're not selling it, you're giving it away, that's fine with me. And so they started coming. It was the fall. They started coming in a little chilly when they started going there, and they would just offer food to people who came in. And that would start conversations, and those conversations led to, you know, further meetings outside of that time together on Thursday nights. And then they finally decided, they had a group of about 30 or 40, they decided to start worship. There was a theater in that little area. It was an old-time theater with one screen. And they went to the owner, and they asked to be able to use that theater, and the cost was minimal. And, you know, they had to clean up after themselves, and sometimes had to clean up after Saturday night stuff. But they started worship with these 30 or 40 people and inviting others to come, and then continued in the bar. During that whole time, all of the cost of that new church plant was borne by them. They were trying to make budgets, but it was almost impossible because they didn't know until they started to rent a facility. They rented offices. There were a few doors down from the theater where they were meeting. They built them out. They built them out so that they could use it for a church office space, but also for a worship on Sunday morning. And that was the first initial cost that was beyond what they could bear, but it was borne by the church at that point. Now, it wasn't until they began to feel a big need for money that they came to us as to be the mother church, the church I was serving. And they were looking at purchasing a building. It was rather a derelict building that was across the street, still in that area. And they were looking for big money, and their budget was growing. And they were talking about one of those two men becoming a pastor who would receive a salary. And indeed, that's what they did eventually. It was borne by the church, some by us, the mother church, some by us because we had a lot of building trades people going there, working on buildings, etc. Some people from our church joining them for a period of time to help them get started. But it started on the cheap because they were willing to do it that way, to bear the cost themselves. So this is one way to get the money. You fund it until building costs come. A second way is to have a mother church pay a lot of the funds. You know, when I talk about City Church in St. Louis, all of those young couples that decided to transplant from the suburbs of St. Louis to Lafayette Park area in St. Louis, all of those couples did it at their own cost. At the same time, many of them were working, and many of them became workers because they were in school, who had good salaries and eventually were giving significantly to that congregation. But initially, they all moved there at their cost, and they moved there with the leader, the pastor, who had been on staff at the mother church, and they moved there, and the mother church bore all the cost of that leader's salary. The mother church had a passion for church planting. In fact, they, at that point in their history, said they didn't want to have a facility themselves. They continued to meet out in the suburbs. They met in a school cafeteria or a school gym. Sometimes they moved from one place to another as the church grew. But they wanted to reserve money for church planting. And this was one way they did that. So if you're considering being part of a church plant or being the leader of a church plant, you know, one of the things is to connect well with a church that has a vision for supporting churches. Now, again, here is where that vision statement is very important. To be able to go to people in a mother church and say, this is what we want to do. Or maybe a mother church is calling you, is coming to you. They've heard about you or you're in their church and somebody will challenge you. What about you becoming a church planter? And we will help fund this. Now, you know, I got to be part of several church plants, and let me just say that the role of Mother Church can be powerfully important in providing, you know, not just the money, but the people to do those initial, you know, small groups, to do those initial calling door-to-door and whatever has happened there, following up on visitors, you know, leading in worship team, that people from a Mother Church can come and be part of that process and maybe even become part of the church. But the money part comes at that point from a Mother Church. In fact, I thought of it that in the spring, my wife and I have a hosta garden in our backyard, and in the spring we'll often divide the plant. You know, it's kind of like hiving off, as we talked about earlier, and because the plants get just a little bit too ingrown, so we'll take a big piece of a mother plant, and we'll transplant it. Well, with it, we take some of the soil of that mother plant, right? The mother plant doesn't just give up the leaves. It gives up roots. It gives up soil. And that's just a metaphor of a way to talk about that. Here's another way of providing funds, and that is a mixture of funds. If you're part of a denomination, that denomination usually has funds set aside for church planting. And if you have a vision that's clear enough, they will likely go with you. So I'm looking at a mixture of funds of denomination, mother church, and regional organization. Most denominations have regional organizations, and they can split the costs of your budget in a variety of ways. This is just an example. Now, in my denomination, we have all of those things in place for a new church development. In other words, there's denominational funding that comes into play and saying, you know, we as a denomination are covenanting together to plant new churches. And we look to the denomination to gather funding for that. But we also have a regional area. And in the regional area, there's usually a group that is charged with church planting. In my particular background, it's a reform background, we have a classis, it's called CLASSIS, excuse me, a classis, which is a group of neighboring churches. In our neighboring area, we have, I think it's 18 or 19 churches, and we covenant together to plant new churches and to help fund those new churches. And as a result, we have a ministries board, and I happen to sit on that ministries board for that regional group, and we set aside money every year. Right now, we've got like $50,000 set aside to help in the next church plant. And then, you know, we ask a church, if we're going to start a new church plant, we ask a mother church, or it can start with a mother church, or it can start with a group. We say, you know, we want you to care for this church, to mother it into being. And so all of them are engaged in that gathering of funding, and so there is a percentage, and whatever the percentages are, they will do it this way. Another way is individual donors. And GoFundMe is very popular nowadays and can be even given. You know, you can say, we're starting this church in this way. I put down vision and need there. The people tend to give toward a vision. That's why you got to be very careful with your vision statement. Your vision and need. Those are the two things people will give to. And so you can go to individual donors and share your vision for this new church. And you can even go to businesses. And if you go to businesses, you better have a plan, objectives, goals, and strategies, because that's the way they function. But you can go to businesses, and they will often give to your church. I just read in our denominational magazine, a friend of mine was a pastoring a mega church. It was over 2,500. I think they had about 3,000 people. And he got burned out in that process. And so he ended up out of ministry for a while. And when he came back, he decided that he wanted to work with the poorest of the poor. So he lived in the Denver area, and he went to Colfax Avenue, which is a bunch of old motels, and it's cheap, and it's the people. It's where people who are really down and out go. And he and his wife moved into a room of one of those motels, and they began just caring for people on Colfax Avenue, the drug addicted, the prostitutes, the poor that were homeless and nothing left. And lo and behold, now this guy has a spiritual gift of leadership, and so eventually the vision began to grow. And so he began sharing a vision for ministry on Colfax Avenue. And here's something about what they're developing. Now, he identified two derelict buildings that were connected. They were part of a complex, and ended up finding that they could be bought very cheaply, and it would cost a lot of money to rehabilitate them. But because he was caring for this group of people and developing that group of people, the poorest of the poor, the drug addicted, the prostitutes, et cetera, down on Colfax Avenue, people gave. And here's a listing. Rehabilitation of the first two buildings is about 80% complete. They've been able to get this far with contributions of $100,000 from the Anschutz Foundation, $250,000 from the city of Aurora, $400,000 from Denver area churches, and more support from individual donors. The ministry's campaign, A Place to Come To, is working on acquiring the remaining required funds they hope to open by the end of the year. Look at it, a city willing to give to this, this thing that's becoming a church, coming out of the vision of one person, but the vision that he shared was one that's compelling enough that foundations are giving to it, churches are giving to it, city is giving to it, individuals are giving to it, because he goes to people with a vision. And so all of these ways are ways that you can get money to start your church. I'll be prayerfully considering how God is calling you to do that. See you next time as we conclude this course on planting a church.